All right, as you're walking to your seat, I want you to think for a minute. What's one thing that you're going to miss the most about break? We were just off for a little while, and so just think, what's one thing that I miss the most about not having to go to school? You got it in your mind? All right, turn to the person next to you, just tell them what it is. Cool. It sounds like some good conversations are happening out there. There's probably a lot of things you're going to miss from break. I know that for me, you know, we had a short little break. It was about a week long. But for me, thinking about the break, what I'm going to miss the most is just being able to sit on the couch and watch Netflix. There's a lot of great things on Netflix that you can flip through. And you know, there's a lot of movies that I haven't seen that I really wanted to see for a while. And one of those movies was on my instant queue forever. I like martial arts movies. Any guys out here like martial arts movies, action movies, things like that? Usually when you have a martial arts movie or action movie, you pretty know the story plot. Somebody's going to get beat up, and that's about it. And so I was expecting that as I turned on the movie that I was about to watch. It was called Fearless. This movie came out about 2006. It was a Jet Li movie, so I thought there's going to be some pretty stinking cool action in this movie. But as I started to watch and it started to go through, I was thinking, okay, what's up with this? It started to have like this type going down. I started to read it and it kind of seems serious. And as I started to read it, what it was this was a true story. This was about a man named Hyo Kyun Ja. And Hyo Kyun Ja lived in China. And where it starts in the movie is 1910. As it starts to tell the story a little bit about what's happening in 1910, it's saying that a lot of the Westerners were coming to China and wanting to show their dominance over China. And so what they would say is, well, they're just the weak man of the East, and so there is no one in China that can defeat the West, and we'll prove that. We will beat up any Chinese person that wants to come up and fight us. And so where it takes place is this huge arena. All of these Chinese people gathered in it and around four Westerners that are ready to take out this one Chinese man that was brave enough to face all four of them in one fight, Hyo Kyun Ja. So he's standing there and he's this martial artist and they put him through all kinds of tests. They gave him the best sword fighter. And so he's fighting off this swordsman. This was the best that they could find from the West. And every time he would fight somebody, it would get close, but not too close for him to lose. And so he fights one man, beats him. Another man beats him. A third man, he beats him. They said that this fight was impossible for him to win. It was a death sentence. See, before the fight, what they would do is they would have them sign their death certificate. And they would show it to everyone. And then they would fight. The same was true with Hyo Kyun Ja. And so he goes to this last fight after beating all three of the previous opponents. The thing that stuck out to me the most about Hyo Kyun Ja was that he never quit. It seemed like they would get a little bit further on him. They would defeat him, but he didn't quit. You know, you think about it, they don't put movies on Netflix about people who quit. You get what I'm saying? I mean, it's easy to quit. See, sometimes quitting can be a good thing. Hey, I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to quit cussing. I'm going to quit doing this, that, whatever. But when we hear the word quit, we don't think of a lot of positive things. We actually think a lot of negative things. Well, they quit doing that. You know, and so it's usually used in a negative context. But for us, when does quitting apply to our relationship with God. You know, thinking about it, we just had a break for about a month, 30 days. We didn't have Element, at least. We still had church and all those things. But I just want you to imagine for a minute. There was no church. There was no Element. Where would you be in your relationship with God? How long would it take you to quit on that relationship? Because the truth is that even though we don't have Element, even though we might not even have church, God is still there, right? He's still there. We can have a relationship with him. But what's it going to take for us to quit on that relationship? Because all of us have been there. I have been there. I've been tested. There's temptations out there that have just pulled me away from God again and again and again. I said, I need to quit doing that so that I don't quit on the most important relationship in my life. And I want to confess to you tonight that I have quit before. I've done it. I've been in your shoes. I've stood there in high school, and I quit. But I want to tell you that there was a person in the Bible that Jesus talks about that did the same thing. He quit. But there's hope for quitters. You see, in Luke 15, Jesus starts talking about these things that are lost. He says there's a sheep that was lost. There was a coin that was lost. But then he gets to the final story, the story about a son who is lost. You see, some of us might know this story, but I'm just going to tell it really quickly. He talks about two sons and a father. And he said that this father loved his sons. But his youngest son comes up to him and says, Dad, I'm done. Essentially, I quit. I quit on our relationship. I want to do my own thing. And so what he was saying essentially and during this time was that, you know what, Dad? I really wish you were dead. Now, it sounds kind of crazy, but in extreme. But what he's saying was, I wish you were dead because I want the inheritance that you owe me. Now, we all know that today if somebody passes away in our family, they leave us an inheritance. They leave us some of money, all those things. But what he did was he went up to his dad's face. He says, I want my inheritance now because I'm done. I want to do my own thing. And so the father loved his son and said, here's your inheritance. And so what we see is the son goes off to this distant country. He lives the life. I mean, if you could think of like Las Vegas and your parents said, okay, you want your inheritance? Here you go. And he just went off to Las Vegas and lived the life. I mean, there was no restraint. He did whatever it is that he wanted to do. But then eventually the money ran out. And what the Bible says is that he pretty much hit rock bottom. Have you ever hit rock bottom before? I mean, I have. Because you think about it and you're like, man, this isn't working. Like, maybe the past 30 days, I don't know what it was like for you. But maybe it was one of those things where we didn't have Element, and you're just kind of wandering aimlessly, and it's like friends are tempting you, and things are going on, and you're like, you know what? I quit. Why am I holding back from these things that I know that are so much cooler than what God wants for me? And so I'm going to go do that. You know what I'm saying? But then you go, and you do it, and you do it, and you do it, and you're like, this isn't working. And then you eventually get to the point where you just hit rock bottom and you're like, man, I don't want to be this person. I don't want to live this way anymore. What do I do? That's what happened to the son. Came to the point in his life where he just said, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be this anymore. See, I had one of those experiences when I was in high school. It was right before I went on this trip. I got drunk this night before I was going on this church trip because I thought it was cool. My friends were doing it. And so I did that. And I remember I was laying there in bed, and I could hear my brother down the hall throwing up from drinking a whole lot. And I was laying there and I was thinking, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be that anymore. Rock bottom. You got to come to that point, and that's what happened to the son. And so the Bible in Luke 15, verse 17, here's what he says. Let's put that up there. He says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. He goes on, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. You see, he starts getting all these thoughts in his head. He starts to make all these speeches in his mind. And I don't know about you, but I've done this before where you think to yourself, God, I don't want to be this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. And so I promise you I won't do it again. You ever made that promise before? I mean, I made those promises before, and then I've messed up again and again. And, you know, it's just like this continual thing that happens. But the son is making a speech in his mind. He's saying, this is what I'm going to say to my father, and I'm going to make this thing right. So he got up, went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And so his father sees him a long way off, and he doesn't think to himself, oh, I knew he'd be back. Oh, that kid, he's not my son anymore. Oh, yeah, we got rid of him a long time ago. Yeah, he was the mess up of the family, and so whatever. He doesn't say any of those things. It says with compassion for him, with a deep love for him. With a love that was willing to do anything for him, he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And then the father says this about his son. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Think about that. Jesus was talking about not just a relationship with a father and a son, but he was talking about the relationship between God and man. When we give up, when we quit, if all we do is turn around and say, God, I need you. I want a relationship again. I'm sorry. He's got his arms wide open. He says, come home. That's the kind of God we serve. A God that never quits. Because he loves us. He has a plan for us. He has something better for us. Guys, I just want to tell you tonight that I am glad that we serve a God that never quits. Because if it were the opposite, I would not be standing in front of you. And if you think to yourself, man, I just need to clean myself up before I come to church again. Does that sound like a God who's waiting for you to just clean up your act and say, hey, then you can come to church? No. He embraces us in our brokenness. He puts us back together again. That's the kind of God we serve, even when we quit. I was listening to the radio one day, and you know, I'm kind of a snob when it comes to music. Like, I like, you know, probably bands that people have never heard of and all of these things. And so I really don't like listening to the radio very much, but I've got a really dated CD player and radio. And so I've got to listen to the radio. But it's actually a good thing sometimes because I turn it to 88.1. And on there, I mean, it's not my style of music most of the time. But I know if I'm listening to that kind of music, then it's not going to be negative things coming into my mind. And so I was driving this past week saying, God, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to say to the students at Element? What do you want me to to communicate. We're just coming back from a break. I don't know what your guys' life has been like or how closely you've been following God since we haven't had Element. But I said, what do you need me to say? And the song came on the radio, and I thought, it's an amazing song. I mean, it might not be my style, but that's an amazing song because it's truth. And it talked exactly about what we talked about today, my son coming home. You see, in the lyrics in the song, it says, I try to remember the words my mom used to sing in church. But he just couldn't remember the words because he'd run so far away from God. Sometimes for you and me, we think of the songs that we sing here at church, but sometimes we can't remember the words because we've just run so far. Maybe it's been a long time since we came to Element. We just can't remember the words. And so that's what this person in the song was just feeling. But I just want you to listen to the lyrics of this song and just let God communicate to you the truth that is in this song. So we're just going to watch this video real quick.
Last night got a little crazy, I don't remember. Woke up, spun with the pasties. My friends say I was tweaked out, passed out on a dirty couch, still in the house. It kinda scares me, I don't know. Am I out of control? Always waking up, still in my clothes. I wrote a note that said goodbye to pain, goodbye to shame, but couldn't find a way, I just cried for days. I'm so depressed, soaking wet, I can't rest. These thoughts just beat me to death, I'm unkept. I thought of a song my mom used to sing in church, but it's been so long, I can't remember the
every
words.
Every time you hurt, every time you hide, every time it hurts, every time you cry, every time you run away, every time you hide your face, and it feels so far away, I'm right here with you.
Sleeping in, don't wanna wake up. I keep hearing from the landlord, pay up. Hop my face on my pillow till the sun sets. Hungover and I haven't seen a paycheck. I took a job downtown at the factory. I was hired and fired with no salary. I keep running from responsibility. It seems impossible, the pressure is hitting me. I know I need to man up or sit down. Stand up and get out of this crowd. I thought of a song my mom used to sing in church, but it's been so long I can't remember the
every
words.
Time you
but I've sure thought about the meaning of life, cause I can't seem to find a purpose for me. It's just the choices and I fail to proceed. I gotta
get up.
I hear voices in my mind, one's a devil, one's Jesus. I can feel it, can you help me find the pieces? Like an angel on my shoulder, you hold the joy of the Lord, raising up a soldier. You gave me the song my mom used to sing in church. I promise not to quit and I remember the words. I promise not to quit and I remember the
every
words.
Every time you run, every time you hide, every time it hurts, every time you cry.
I promise not to quit, and I remember the
words. It feels so far away, away.
So thinking about it, have you been running? Have you been running like this son who's just thinking, man, there's no way that I could go back? I don't know. You're the only one that can answer that. But I think about God. And I think about this, the amazing extent that he went for us. And if you don't remember anything else about this message, just remember this phrase. Don't quit on God, because God didn't quit on you. Don't quit on God, because God didn't quit on you. He went to every extent he could for you. And I know it's going to be tough. And I know there are going to be times where you're just tempted like crazy. But I want you to know he's out there. I was watching this thing on, it's called TED.com, but it's this group of like extremely smart individuals. And there was this guy named Alexander Sarsis. He's from Yale University, did all these studies, research, all this. And what he did was he did the journey from conception to birth. And so how you and I are made, I mean, literally the process of how that happens. He's a scientist. But he said he had research from NASA, all this stuff. Just the research that he did on the human eye. All of us can see eye, you know? The intricacy, everything, the detail, how it all came together, the layers, everything. Just the human eye. He said, there is no other way to explain it other than there's a God. This is a scientist. He's not professing Christian, any of those things. He's a lot smarter than me. What I'm saying today is this. The question of God is not a question. He's there. And this is a God that loves you. This is a God that never quit on you. He never quit on me. He's got a future for us. He believes in us. But tonight we're holding a bag of rocks. Because maybe we quit on God. Maybe we've done some things that we're really ashamed of. We think, well, there's no possible way that God can forgive me. What he says in this story is, yes, he can. God's bigger than our sins. God's bigger than our mess. God can do it. But what my encouragement to you is, never quit. Don't quit on God. Don't do it. This next year, Element, week after week after week, come. Be a part of it. See what God will do in your life. He'll change you. At the end of the movie, the last fight, Hyo Kyun-ja had the whole arena cheering for him. And he stood there against his toughest test. But what he didn't realize was that they slipped him some poison. And so he started to fade. And he started to get weaker. And he started to not be as strong in his punches. And he started to become a little bit dizzy and fade a little bit as he's fighting his toughest competition. And then they asked him, if you want to quit, do you want to quit now? He says, do you hear all these people? They don't want me to quit. And so at the end, he's fighting, and he has this last punch, that he throws. And he looks at his competitor and he smiled. He didn't hit him, but he fell to the ground and died. His competitor raised Hugh Kunjia's hand. He never quit. Do you hear it? Do you hear God telling you, don't give up? Do you hear him chanting it in your ear? You can do this. Do you hear it? Don't give up. Keep fighting. Because that's what he's called you to do. You're going to make it. Father God, tonight I pray we don't quit. We don't give up. Everything's against us. Just like it says in the song, it feels like Jesus is on one shoulder and the devil's on the other, and it's just this battle that's going on in our heart and our mind. Father, this is real. And tonight, there's some that have walked in here feeling like they didn't want to come tonight because they felt maybe not judgment from others, but self-judgment. Maybe some of the mistakes that they've made. Or maybe there's people that are walking in here tonight and they feel judgment from others. But when we look at the story of the prodigal son who ran away and came back home, we see that there's a God that's not waiting to judge us, but there's a God that's waiting to embrace us and tell us, welcome home. But we got to keep fighting. We can't quit. And you're speaking to us now, God, and I just pray in our hearts that we feel it, that we know it, that we believe it, because you're here. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving us, sinners, people like me, sinners. Thank you, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.